the Buddha, Bishop Dharma, Bishop the Sangha. The Diamond Sutra was composed in India. Many of the Indian scriptures have a strongly analytical and intellectual, are cast in a strongly analytical and intellectual light. There's much good in this. The analytical teachings of Buddhism that were developed in India are enormously helpful. And nowhere have they been more clearly expressed than in that part of Asia. And people long for the direct experience of truth. And all of these teachings are intended to point people towards the actual experience, direct experience, of that which the teachings express. In our tradition, there are some magnificent expressions of the teaching of the Diamond Sutra, the teaching that is expressed in the Diamond Sutra. They're all over the place. The Scripture of Great Wisdom, the Sandokai, the Most Excellent Mirror Samadhi. All of these express it, each in different ways, each with different emphases. And as is always the case in Zen, the scriptures, the teachings that came out of Chinese and Japanese Zen, which is our tradition, are particularly practical. Less intellectual most of the time. In the first two chapters of the Denkaroku, Keizan addresses the essential issue of the Diamond Sutra in terms of the transmission from master to disciple. I'd like to read a little from each, just a sentence or two from each, just to show this. In the first chapter on Shakyamuni Buddha, if you want to understand the principle of enlightenment, he says, in detail, throw away Shakyamuni and you at the same time, and know that they are I. Our master has put the word I, not E-Y-E, but just capital I in quotation marks here, to give a particular emphasis. The reference is to Shakyamuni's statement, I was, am, and will be enlightened simultaneously with all living beings. Throw away Shakyamuni and you at the same time and know that they are the I. The I and with in Shakyamuni's first utterance was, is, and will be the whole world, the universe, inanimate things. This I is not the old Gautama. The I and with are not one and two. Yours, that is, they're not fundamentally separate. Your skin, flesh, bones, and marrow are all the with. The Lord of the house is the I. If you want to know the eternal Lord of the house, you must not think of it as the whole world inanimate things. In other words, you must turn within in meditation and experience it directly as your own Buddha nature. In this discussion of the I and the with in Shakyamuni's statement, Keizan is pointing out that the real I being referred to there is not the egocentric I, the illusory I, the illusory self. It is the true self. At the moment of enlightenment, one dissolves into the true self. Is the deepest experience of union. The illusion dissolves and the reality is all that there is. And there is the with, your skin, flesh, bones, and marrow, your body and mind, and all of its components, all of its aspects, all of its facets, all aspects and facets of the whole world. Arise and pass within the eternal oneness, the eternal unity of the Lord of the house, the eternal Buddha nature. In the next chapter of Makkakasho, he says, if you are in a hurry to practice the truth, soon you can meet Buddha. In daily life, Shakyamuni here represents the eternal. In daily life, Shakyamuni was, is, and will be walking, stopping, sitting, lying down, talking, and seeing, by, in, through, and with you, and is not separate from you, even for a moment, being all of you. If you cannot see him all through your life, you are an undutiful being. Already you were, are, and will be the children of Buddha. But if you are undutiful, 1,000 Buddhas cannot help you. There cannot be, no one can, in words, do a more clear expression of the relationship between the all is one and the all is different. I am not him, he is all of me. What is it to be a dutiful being? It is simply to live in such a way that we do not willfully blind ourselves to our own true nature. Master often said, all are called, few choose to answer. If I answer today, if I respond to the promptings of my heart today, that's no guarantee I will do so tomorrow. If I fail to do so today, that doesn't prevent me from doing so tomorrow. if I respond to that prompting in this very moment, that's no guarantee I'll respond to it the next moment. If I do not catch the Lord of the house in this present moment, it does not mean I will not do so in the next moment. If there was a separate, enduring self that had rooted, unchangeable characteristics and attributes, then there might be some unfortunate people who never could catch the Lord of the house. And there might be some elect few, perhaps, who were able to do so. But this is not the teaching of the Buddha. Everyone possesses the Buddha nature. Everyone is of the eternal. Nothing can stop us from training ourselves except our own choice not to do so. Nothing can stop us from meditating except our own choice not to do so. And whatever we choose, we will get the consequences of our actions. When karma wells up powerfully, we feel that we might be overwhelmed by the despair, the fear, the grief, the agitation, whatever it is, we can always put our hands together and make gassho. We can always draw ourselves back into our center and be still for a moment. Do not think that conditions are ever so dark and so tumultuous that you cannot take refuge in the eternal. Do not think that you can ever be so bad a person, so confused a person, that you cannot take refuge in the eternal. The eternal is not sitting there keeping score on us, judging us. It is only we who do this to ourselves, and no one else forces us to. Even if the whole world should think and speak badly of us, that cannot force us to do it of ourselves. We are entirely responsible for our own training. And within the acceptance of this responsibility lies true spiritual freedom. Reverend Master so often said, "This is a religion for spiritual adults." Yet as it turns out, none of us always manages to be a spiritual adult. So when we find that we've slipped, all we have to do is say, "Right. So I was wrong, now I can move on." Pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, accept responsibility for our actions and move on. Always going on, always becoming Buddha. There's just action and consequence. There's no score being kept. It cannot possibly matter to the eternal what we do. Infinite love only knows how to love. So every time we turn towards it with a contrite and humble and upward-looking heart, there is that support, even in the midst of the greatest darkness and the greatest confusion. Over and over again, in 1976, the Burmese Master said, "It is enough for me to know the Lord of the house." But what if we don't think that we know the Lord of the house? What if we feel distant from the Lord of the house? Then just substitute for that. It is enough for me just to meditate in this moment. It is enough for me just to work at being present in this moment. I promise you, it will come out to the same thing. It's amazing how dry and intellectual the Diamond Sutra reads, when really it is giving the greatest hope of any teaching. You are never separate from your own true nature. Never for an instant. Never in any circumstances. And as we come to know this in our own experience, our gratitude to the Eternal and to the Buddhas and ancestors who've shown us the way knows no boundaries, no limits. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture.